My name is Shane O'Curry. I'm the director of ENAR Ireland. That's the European Network Against Racism Ireland. We are a networking organisation, so we work with 40 different member organisations in Ireland. They are civil society groups, trade unions, local peace partnerships, migrant rights organisations, traveller rights organisations, Roma rights organisations, grassroots anti-racist groups, and community groups and intercultural groups who would come into contact with a lot of people from communities who would be subjected to racism. And the idea is that we work together to come up with common policy strategies, common strategies at a local, and regional, national and European level for tackling racism. So what does that mean? It means that in practice, the core part of our work is monitoring racism. So we run an online racist incident recording system called ireport.ie, where people can report a racist incident. And this is designed to be as accessible as possible. We've designed it to be as easy as possible to fill in. It is completely confidential and it's anonymous. So that if anybody has any concerns about the authorities, or if people are afraid or reluctant, which we find in practice that many people from different communities are, to work directly with the authorities, they can use us as a vehicle for doing that, either to log their incident, or they can ask us if we can support them to work with the authorities. But we won't do that unless explicitly asked to do it.
Why is that this reluctancy to go to the authorities?
There is the experience in Ireland, and you know, different studies in Ireland that show the same result, which is somewhere between 70 and 90% of people from groups who are normally subjected to racism will not report to the authorities. And that gets broken down. The largest part of people will tell you in surveys that the reason that they don't report to the authorities is because they don't believe there's any point, because they think that they will probably go through a long and tedious process and that nothing will happen at the end of it. So that they'll be wasting their time and just tiring themselves. And it's easier, I think, psychologically to brace yourself and, you know, to put a nasty incident behind you, than to keep revisiting it in the hope that you will get some satisfaction when you suspect that you won't. And that's the biggest experience. So the biggest reason that people give is, what's the point? They kind of shrug their hands. The next biggest is that they will not be believed, or that they will be treated inappropriately. And following closely behind that is a fear, and you know, we have recorded some instances of this, of actually being victimized racially a second time, but this time by the authorities, by Gardaí. So for all those reasons, and then way down at the bottom of the list is that people from some migrant communities may have come from countries where the police behave in a hostile manner towards towards people, and that they have a fear of authority arising out of that. But I have to say that that's not one of the top reasons, and you hear that bandied about a lot as one of the reasons why people don't go to the guards here, and it's a little bit like blaming the victim, it's to misunderstand the problem. I think a language barrier and a cultural barrier, more generally, is in the place. So even if your first language is English, so you get some people from some African countries whose first language is English, and of course you have Irish travellers whose first language is English. There was a disconnect, a misunderstanding culturally between Gardaí, who are by and large white and Irish, white settled and Irish, and people from minority communities. And you know, there is a dynamic there which can make it difficult. One time I can remember accompanying a woman to the guards who had been subjected to a series of racist attacks in a short period of time by a gang of youths. She was singled out because she was wearing a Muslim veil, and she was and her veil was targeted, and she was struggling with explaining what had happened. I was there on hand to observe how the interaction went before I came in and helped. And she couldn't understand everything that was going on in the attack on her, or everything that was being said, and yet she knew instinctively that it was racist. But the guard, in fairness to her, who was working in a very busy station, and there was a lot, you know, she was very, you know, there was a lot of fluster going on, and you can imagine that this was the, you know, maybe the 40th interaction with a member of the public that day. And so on and so forth, was going, but I need to know what makes you think it was racist. I need you to give me proof that it was racist, otherwise I can't count it as racist. And the woman said, I don't know. And therein lies, there's a cultural disconnect. The woman didn't have the wherewithal to explain it in all of its context. And the guard didn't have the wherewithal to accommodate the needs of somebody from a minority community. So we need to look at ways of bridging that gap. And some of that is to equip the criminal justice system with the right supports and the right training and resources for dealing with the needs of people who are subjected to racism. And indeed, that's a requirement on Ireland under the 2008 framework decision and under the 2012 Victims Directive.
Talking about racism in Ireland, how is it visible, or how does it happen?
If you go online to enireireland.org, or if you just Google ireport.ie, or if you go to the ireport.ie website, you will see our quarterly reports on racism over the last 12 months. You'll get a breakdown of the type of incident that people that affects people. You know, there are three basic categories. We break them down into three basic categories of incidents. Most incidents are recorded to us are incidents that involve shouting or threatening behavior or bullying or harassment or something in that category. And the more aggressive and the more violent and the more racist language used, then you often find that you have that there's a close correlation with the second category, the second next category, which is actual assaults. So, you know, people being assaulted, people being spat on, or criminal damage or arson. And then a large number, about a third of incidents recorded with us, are instances of discrimination, differential treatment, discrimination in accessing services in the workplace, or bullying and harassment in the workplace that have got a racial or discriminatory content. So people experience a full range of experiences. And they differ according, or the ones recorded to us differ according to communities. So travellers, we tend to get reports of travellers facing discrimination and shunning, and not getting the services that they're entitled to. And then people who are visibly different tend to be singled out for what you would call attacks by randomers, by people unknown to them on the street. So Africans tend to be verbally abused by people unknown to them on the street, on public transport, on buses. African bus drivers get subjected to quite a lot of racism. And sometimes these attacks spill over into physical assault. These are the ones that most commonly spill over. So you get very angry verbal abuse escalating into physical assault.
And the thing which is at some stage quite controversial is like the sentence, I'm not racist, but. Mm-hmm. Where is the border between freedom of expression mm-hmm. about a minority group mm-hmm. and actual racism?
Well, it's a very difficult question. And I hear the in relation to the recent events in Waterford, I have heard the I'm not racist but trope quite a lot of times. There's a good cartoon. There's a good cartoon if you look it up, called the I'm Not Racist But. What is the boundary between legitimate criticism of members of a community for alleged criminality, for instance, and racism? Well, I guess the boundary lies in: are you going to tar an entire community with the same brush? Because of the actions of a minority within that community. Is the frame about dealing with criminality, or is the frame interested in demonizing a community? And I guess that's the difference. Is it legitimate to look at criminality within certain community? Yes, if community leaders and if the community themselves are at the centre of finding a solution to them. But if these questions are asked in a way which will make those communities more vulnerable and make them into soft targets for scapegoating and racism, well, then it's racist. It's a convoluted answer, and it's because it's not an easy answer that the line gets crossed a lot. And you know, it's one of the reasons that groups like ours exist, because we need our aim is to make society conversant in anti-racism, for the whole of Irish society to be actively anti-racist.